The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
All right. Feeling all right. That's how you have to start your morning. You have to start the morning feeling all right. Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Well, joining me this morning, right now it's vicariously, but she is in transit, is my wife, Ann Fella, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. I always tell this joke is that I always had that there were two times when you can never be too early, and that is if you're catching a flight or if you are going on a job interview. Since then, I've added a third one, is that you can never be too early for a live radio show on WTBQ. So that's why I am here and the show is going on, but Ann will be joining us very shortly. Today's program, we're going to be talking about breast cancer. As you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Week, so we will be, you know, discussing the different details of it, about the risk factors, how to prevent, and going through all like the specific details. But just to tell you a little something about A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency, and we have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday. Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. And I always joke, my running joke, and it's continuing, is that whenever we have a show, the Rockland Journal News follows suits on talking about, and they did have more information on the vaccines, about what was being done, and I know we've had several topics on that. But the important thing to remember is that, you know, it's not a controversial or contentious or confrontational program, but we are engaging, informative, and I also want to say entertaining. We do accept questions on the topics that are present. The phone number is 845-651-1110. That's 845-651-1110. I don't know if you've noticed it. One of the things I always joke about having this radio show with my wife, Ann, is here, is that when I make the mistake, she's right there to correct me. And I was listening. I was teaching a class up in Newburgh. And what it was, I was able to listen to Frank and Taylor on my car. And Frank was giving the number, and he says 845-651-1110. I always had trouble with the ones. The advantage of being on radio is that you don't actually see the person, but I started using my fingers to count the three ones and then the zero. It seemed very complicated. So I know now, always learning, always trying to improve, and that's what's important, but it's 651-1110. Facebook, we're always talking about Facebook. It's interesting that there's a lot of stuff that you can get from it. As I said, we've recorded, we've archived all our particular programs that we've had on WTBQ. And again, they are available. We always have a little blog describing what it is. Well, anyway, today's program is we're talking about breast cancer for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There are many different kinds of cancer, and we're just really going to be highlighting breast cancer. But let me just give you some statistics from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Is what they're saying is not counting some kinds of skin cancer, okay, not counting some kinds of skin cancer, but breast cancer in the United States, okay, the most common cancer in women, no matter your race or ethnicity. It is the second common cause of death among Hispanic women and is the second common cause of death from cancer among white, black, Asian Pacific Islanders, American Indian, and Alaskan Native women. These are the statistics from 2012. These were the earliest ones I was able to get, or the latest ones, I should say. They said that there were 224,147 women and 2,125 men in the United States who were diagnosed with breast cancer. 41,150 women and 405 men in the United States died from breast cancer. It's interesting. We always forget. I remember my days when I was in biology class. I'm not really mistaken as far as like men having breast cancer, but when I was in 10th grade, I remember the biology teachers, telling us that men have breasts, however, they're non-functional breasts, which means that, they can still get some, cancer like this. But those are the statistics, and that's where there is that kind of awareness, and I guess there are other cancers that are involved that can be taking place. What we're saying is that the upshot of this is that I want to say is that many times that the factors that are used in terms of lowering your risk of breast cancer are, in effect, lowering your risk of other cancers. Okay, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, healthy lifestyle, healthy living, those are all things that contribute to lowering your risk of breast cancer. And as I said, when we start going over the details, you will see that. Those are all the things, as I say, the name of the show, you're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, A&T Healthcare, because your health does matter. You always have to remember and always note that we are all individuals and are unique. And treatment varies from person to person. Okay? Same as medication. Someone could be on a medication. It could be fine. It could be no problems. However, for another individual, it may have absolutely no effect whatsoever. But it is always important, and this is what we stress, is that you do have a relationship with your doctor is important. And one of the things that we bring on this particular program is that we want to make sure that you are empowered. By empowered is that you're knowledgeable and that you have to stand up for yourself. That when I say stand up for yourself, not in a physical sense, but you really have to ask the questions, okay? That, this is not the old days where a physician writes an order here, go ahead, take this to the pharmacy and take it. You have to ask the questions why. And that's what's always important, okay? Whatever treatment would be, it would vary from person to person. There isn't anything that is absolutely universal. I did say that we are not, Ann and I, we are not doctors. We are both registered nurses. And, the information that we're going to be sharing with you is from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And I remember I told this story earlier. Dr. Thomas Frieden, he is the one that's in charge with the CDC. And I'd worked briefly with him when he was just starting out on tuberculosis control in New York City. There was a big resurgence of tuberculosis. And I did work with him because my days of working at St. Clair's Hospital, which is no longer there, we had a very high incident of patients who had tuberculosis, and there was a lot of research that was done. It's interesting. We have all the political things that are going on, I know we had the Democratic presidential debate, but one of the things that government does, and I teach public policy at LIU, and one of the things that we talk about is what government can and can't do. Not that they can't do, they can do anything, but one of the main things that we all know, they can raise taxes, they can lower taxes, they can put embargoes on. There's a lot of control that they have, but one of the goals of government is to educate people, So I'm kind of helping along the government just in the sense of just, directing the information that is from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and that's all part where we're here. I do want to, I know it's a very personal thing. And as I said, if anyone would like to share, would anyone like to share their experience that they might have had if they had known someone with breast cancer or something like that, we'd really like you to call us in. I know one of the things that you have to remember is that many years ago in the 60s and 70s, you did not have these support groups that people could talk about. But if anyone would like to share their experience, that would be very great, okay? The phone number would be 845-651-1110. And when we come back, we'll start going over the details of breast cancer and the different forms of detecting it, the symptoms, and the treatment.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, live and in person, in the studio, right in front of me, is my wife, Ann Feller, who is the Director of the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as Quality Improvement. The reason why she did have a very legitimate excuse why she was not able to get here on time is that we are babysitting for our grandson. As such, there is a time differential, okay? There's a time that children are in different time zones, almost like a time zone, I want to say.
It is a separate time. Well, he's not used to our routine, and we're not used to his routine, so getting it all coordinated in the morning has been tough.
But it's been interesting. It's been fun at the same time.
So his mother's coming back tonight.
Oh, not a minute too soon. And say good morning to our listening audience.
Good morning,
WTBQ, okay?
Good morning. Sorry for my delay.
Okay, but Anne's been a part of it. She's been listening the whole way on, so she hasn't missed a beat. Let's just talk a little bit about breast cancer. First is that cancer is a disease in which the cells of the body grow out of control. And when it starts at the breast, it's called breast cancer. That's essentially what it is. Except for skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer in American women. And I went over those particular details as to what it is. But the idea is that there are many different forms of cancer, but we're going to be highlighting breast cancer. But the first thing, and can I tell you, what are some of the symptoms of breast cancer?
Well, we always are told to check ourselves for lumps, especially in our breast and also under our arms. And when you go to your doctor, they usually will give you a little pamphlet on exactly how to do that. And a lot of times they say to do it while you're in the shower. Mm-hmm. Also thickening or swelling in parts of the breast. Irritations that suddenly appear and changes in the skin of your breast, as well as in the nipple area and such. Of course, any discharge other than breast milk, if you're breastfeeding, including blood, and any change in size like that is unexpected, or one side is way bigger than the other, smaller. Those are things that you can ask your doctor about and discuss. It's not uncommon. Some things aren't uncommon, but you want to be sure that these are not indications of a cancer.
And of course, any kind of pain, that's always the indicator. It's always important to note is that, different people have different warning signs of breast cancer, and that some people do not have any of these signs. And then they find out that
true.
They do have breast cancer.
A lot of times it's just detected on, your routine mammography. So, when you reach an age when you should be, tested, usually on an annual basis, it is important to go and be tested and have the mammography. They are improved, even though I was just talking to my sister about it last week, and she goes, oh, it's too painful. I'm like, well, you know what? You just kind of grit your teeth and you bear it. And it's a little better than it used to be. They're digital now, so there's a little less pressure, I think, during the testing.
And I think also it's important, just as I said, is that some individuals may have none of these warning signs and then have a breast cancer.
And that's where they pick it up.
And then the flip side of it is, then it doesn't mean that if you have any of these symptoms, that, oh, I have breast cancer, okay?
Right.
So it works like both ways. I don't want you to think, I've noticed this or something like that.
There are some risk factors, of course, that if you have a family history, I know when you go for testing, they question you. And there are other tests that they may further do to see if you have a specific trait or gene or
Right. I know we've said this numerous times, and here this is going to be amplified just because we are talking about breast cancer, because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Okay, but just so that you understand, what is the difference between diagnosis and prognosis? Oh, I've said this several times in the show, but it really is quite germane on today's program that we're having. But a diagnosis, in order to determine the diagnosis, tests are performed which will tell the doctor what is wrong. So Anne just kind of touched on, we'll go into more details, is that there was a test that was done, and then they've determined that you may have breast cancer, or be it pneumonia or what have you. It's any kind of, you know, diagnosis.
Or that you're at risk. Or a higher risk.
Right, that you've found some. But again, the diagnosis is based on the test that you have. And that's a good point, what Anne said, that you may be at a risk, even with your blood sugar and stuff like that. You know, you start saying to you, if you're at this part, you may be pre-diabetic, so you start showing a little flags. Prognosis is, now this is the operative word, is a prediction of how a person's chances are of surviving or to, you know, make it have a good outcome from
right,
this. But it's a prediction, okay? This doesn't mean that, and so much of it is that screening or preventive medicine, as we talk about, is that there are very few exceptions, but the sooner the diagnosis, the better the prognosis. But it's not to say that, oh, gee, I found something at stage one. Oh, my prognosis is very good. I'm going to be cured. That's the prediction that's going to happen. Other things can happen. There have been some that have been noted at a later stage that they had a very poor prognosis, but the opposite had happened. So I just want to make sure that you understand the distinction. Diagnosis is the disease that you have. Prognosis is what you actually have. And as we say, the better... you know, the earlier you know about it, the better. You know, I was saying to our listening audience, if anyone was interested in sharing their experience about what they have, it would be important. And that what I also always teach when I'm talking and you know, even at the classes, is that whenever one person in the family is affected by something like this, be it breast cancer, any kind of cancer, something, it's affecting one person. But no, it's affecting the entire family unit and friends. Okay, no one can say, oh, it's just that. There's always going to be some kind of impact. And it can be very sad. I do remember with my sister when she had it, her daughter, it was very upsetting that, you know, she lost her hair from the chemotherapy and that sort of stuff. And there's a very big emotional strain that goes on. And that's what I'm saying. But if it happened to one, it will be happening really pretty much to the entire family unit. And what about, can you talk a little bit about some of the risk factors, you know, for breast cancer? We talked about what the symptoms were, but what are some of the risk factors that you may have? So let's start with, let's go in the positive sense here. Let's say, what are some factors that can decrease your risk of having breast cancer?
Well, decreasing some factors that may decrease your risk is actually when you first had your menstrual period, if you were a little older, being older when you first had your period. Starting menopause at an early age could actually decrease your risk factor. Giving birth to children, getting regular exercise, which is something that illness, diagnosis that we've talked about, exercise plays a big role in it, and maintaining a healthy weight, which, of course, if you're getting good exercise, you're, you know, helping to maintain that healthy weight, as well as the things that you
I think that's so important.
So they kind of go together.
They hand in glove, as the saying goes.
Absolutely.
But for having, you know, regular exercise and maintaining a healthy weight are so important. They are so important. You know, throughout your lifetime, but having that, you know, that's something you do have some control over. You okay?
Right.
You know, as far as your biological, having your menstrual cycle, or you know, the birth of your children. Those are a lot of variables that you don't always have necessarily control over. But that is something that you can have some control.
Right.
So, what are some factors now, Anne, that can increase your risk?
Well, the main factors that increase your risk for breast cancer include, of course, being a woman. Not that men can't develop breast cancer.
Yes, we talked about it, yes.
Most breast cancers are found in women that are 50 years or older. And having certain breast cancer genes, which is the blood test that I talked about, these studies show that some other factors may also increase your risk. Other things that increase your risk are long-term use of hormone replacement, and that's been, you know, controversial and discussed. For women going through menopause, one of the first things that was offered to you was a hormone replacement, which they found later on that this actually increased your risk. Postmenopausal and hormone therapy.
Not to digress or shift to the men, but it's essentially there's been so much about the, you know, testosterone injections and stuff, and there's been a lot of controversy surrounding it. That's why you really have to consult this with your doctors. They say, I'm not saying don't do it or do it. I'm just saying you have to do some research on it, and are the health benefits outweigh the risk? Because anytime you have any kind of injection or something, there are always going to be risks associated with it. As such, you have to see what is the benefit of doing it versus not doing it, and what the risk factors that could you may incur by having that specific treatment.
Right. Family history of breast cancer on either your mother or your father's side of the family, that is always could increase your risk, and certainly that's when, you know, you have to think about early screenings.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And everyone is unique, and I keep saying that these are the specific guidelines. And then I see right there where it says drinking alcohol. I mean, drinking alcohol is something that...
There's a lot of controversy. You know, you hear, well, alcohol is a risk factor for many illnesses. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's some studies that say having, you know, a drink a whatever, couple times a week or so, is good for you. So that's, you know, interesting.
Yeah, I know it's no, but I always joke about it. Many times, if you ever listen to Willard Scott on NBC, where they give like the 100 birthdays, if you pay attention, this is very unscientific, but it always seems that they say, oh, well, what's your secret to your longevity? Oh, I always have a martini before dinner, or I have a glass of wine before I go to bed. All those particular factors. Now, one of the other things that is interesting.
Very interesting.
I have to say this, is that I bring my A game every time I come here, because I take it very seriously. And as I always state, is that many times I learn something from the particular program that we were having based on the guests that we were receiving. So this time I was doing my risk factor. But they were saying one thing that can increase your risk factor is, believe it or not, is night shift work. Night shift work. And this was a study that was done, and it was from an epidemiological study, and they found that if you had long-term night workers have a higher risk of breast cancer than women who do not work at night. Now, who were the main individuals that were involved in this? It was involving our profession, many nurses and flight attendants. The study was were consistent with animal studies that demonstrated that constant light, dim light, or night or stimulate chronic jet lag can substantially increase tumor development. And they also showed is that because, you know, the nighttime, you have a reduced melatonin level at the night, increases your incidence of growth tumors, okay? And they're talking about the, how do you say that, circadian system, is that there's this disruption in your sleep pattern. You were born to be awake during the day and to sleep at night, and then when that's reversed, this goes back to, you know, when you men were first born. Actually, hopefully, we're going to have our next show is going to be talking about, say, a seasonal adjustive affective disease.
Affective disorder.
You know, when we start changing the time.
Seasonal we'll talk about
that'll
disorder.
Be our show.
I heard you saying that. I correct you.
Okay, and I want you to correct me.
I
just get worried if Dan starts correcting. Then I'm really in trouble. Man, he's the guy, or Taylor Wilson and Peter. You can't say that. So, but anyway, those are the other things. Okay, now, as far as, you know, we're talking about, you know, we mentioned about the you know, the factors that are. Ways that increase your risk, but what is something that you can do? Before we get started, I just wanted to say we listen to Health Matters, and my name is Peter Fella. I'm joined with Ann Fella, who is at A&T Healthcare. We're both here, and when we come back, we'll talk about ways that you can do to reduce your risk of breast cancer. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters.
A&T PNC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hey, Polka fans, it's Nat the Cat inviting you to join me for an hour of polka fun each and every Sunday morning. For the very best in polkas, waltzes, and obedics, join us at 10 a.m. for the Natalie Gabala Polka Fun Show, Sundays, and it's all here on TBQ.
Hi, this is Jim Mazzetti of Miles Wealth Management. Join me and my guests every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for an hour of the American Dream. And be a part of what made this nation great, right here on WTBQ Radio.
WTBQ Weather.
Mostly sunny skies today, into the lower 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 40 or 45. Tomorrow, some morning showers, otherwise partly sunny in the afternoon with a high in the low 60s. Partly cloudy and colder tomorrow night, down in the upper 30s. And Saturday, sunny near 50. There could be some frost and freezing temperatures Saturday and Sunday nights. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ,
welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance. Ann, I'm sorry, I love that song. I love feeling all right, and I do hope that the listening audience on WTBQ, when you hear that on the radio, you say, oh, that's that Health Matters theme song. That's our Health Matters theme. That's, we got to get a hook to pull them all, And so I hope you, I'm feeling all right. I always feel all right when I'm here, but really we have a very serious program that we're doing, and you know, we're talking about breast cancer. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and there's a lot of things that are being discussed, you know, the information that we're having, and I keep stressing, it really comes down to your personal relationship with your doctor, okay? So we want to point out something. There are many factors that can increase, that can influence, I should say, your breast cancer risk. And as I said before, some women may have all these risk factors and not have cancer. However, others may not have any of the particular symptoms and then have breast cancer. But it's always important that the key thing many times is a history of disease in their family, okay?
And also screenings. You know, the screenings are so important. One of the hospitals I saw recently were doing, you know, free screenings. You know, so pay attention to that, because if you know, your insurance might not cover it, or you don't have insurance, or you're not sure what the cost is, or there are, you know, places that will help out. And prevention is, as they say, the best medicine. And yeah, early screenings prevent, you know, more serious illness and, you know, detect incidents quicker. And
yeah, and
it's
that was
very, you know, very important. And people shouldn't feel that, oh, I can wait, or I don't have the money right now, or the time, or whatever. It's important to do.
I know this is not a political forum, although you know we do have political individuals on if it has something to do with health related thing. But I have to say about the Affordable Care Act, I really reveled at that. Is that AKA Obamacare and stuff like that? But the idea is that that was an important component on it, is the screening of it. Is that if you, you screen someone and you find something at stage one, the treatment and prognosis is much easier than if you had detected it at, let's say, stage three or four.
And I know you're
talking about the expenses, and you really, you have to take care of yourself, and that's what's important. It's you. You know, I don't want people are more, I know it's kind of crude, but I say sometimes I feel people take better care of their cars than their own body. Oh, I got to bring them up for a 30,000-mile checkup. Oh, I got to get that oil changed. It's 4,000 miles, and, you know, like that sort of stuff. But then for yourself, you're putting anything in your, oh, I haven't got time to make this appointment. I haven't got time for anything like that. But anyway, and let's talk, what can you do to reduce your risk of breast cancer? And a lot of these things are really just part and parcel to healthy lifestyle, and your health does matter.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, the first two things that we've already talked about is a healthy weight and regular exercise. So At least 4 hours a week of exercise. So that would be, you know, 30, 40 minutes a day.
Yeah, and people think, oh, I haven't got time to do that. But you know what you can do? You can park your car at the end of the... Well, I always have to... I never find a... this one, my pet peeve. I can't circle around looking for a parking. I always park at the end.
Yeah,
but
no
whatever
issue.
You're doing, and it doesn't mean that you have to do it at different intervals, but just even like walking and enjoying it, those are ways that you can do it. But as I said, there is a very good... you know, for the amount of time, but you just feel better. You have a better increase, like the endorphins we talk about, is that, you know, it gives you a feeling of feeling
that.
Good about yourself, a positive outlook, mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff.
We talk about that on almost every show about how exercise can make you feel better in general.
Yeah,
a lot of your little ailments and things just disappear when you're more mobile. I'm just laughing at this one because the last 45 nights, we haven't gotten the same amount of sleep as we usually.
Get enough sleep.
Getting enough sleep is so important.
I know. I mean, Dan's looking at me. He's got bags in his eyes. Gee, what was... the Mets aren't on until tonight, stuff like that. What am I going to look like? What am I going to look like tomorrow?
And, of course, limiting your alcohol intake. No more than... one drink a day.
Okay. And that's always important. Okay. Like I know that there are the health benefits of alcohol. You always hear about it. But I always remember any doctor I've ever spoken to, and what I've read is that, well, if you're not drinking, don't start to think, well, let me start drinking because it's good for you. Okay.
Right,
so
exactly.
always keep that in mind.
Some of the other things are, you know, reducing your risk about taking... not taking hormone replacement if it's not necessary.
And that's what you have to talk to your doctor about.
When you're menopausal, it has been found to be greaten your risk for breast cancer. Some of the most important things to do, like I said, is to...
Go dancing. I always say that.
Do
something different. Go dancing.
Okay. though breast cancer screening cannot prevent breast cancer, it can detect it early, and so you should talk to your doctor about screening tests that are right for you. And now with the digital mammographies, it's easier. They detect things easier, quicker. They see more than they did. So it's, I think...
The technology is
always
improving.
It's a relatively simple procedure. It only takes a few minutes and you're done.
You know, and we'll talk more about that. Yeah. Also, they were talking about prophylactic prevention, a mastectomy, you know, removal of the breast tissue. And I believe Angelina Jolie had that done. Is that she had a very strong family history between her mother and I think it was, you know, the mother on the father's side or something like that. And as I said, this was the determination that was done with consultation with, you know, her doctor as to, like, this may be something that would be ongoing and something that we should actually try to do.
Definitely a brave decision.
Yes, it is. But that's probably the more extreme ways of reducing it. But as I said, that's not something that, you know, if you're at a high risk, that you should automatically get it. And that's what I keep stressing. We're not here to tell you what treatment to take. We're just giving you the information that you can take and disseminate it and speak to your doctor about it. So let's talk, Ann, a little bit about the screening test. How we talked about how it's so important that you get screening done. We've talked about prognosis versus diagnosis. That this earlier you find something, the better the prognosis, meaning the better prediction of what your outcome is going to be. But what are the screening tests that are available?
Well, screening tests are ways of checking for cancer before there are any signs or symptoms. And you will hear, as a matter of fact, one of our sister-in-laws on a routine, you know, test, it was detected that she had a stage 1 breast cancer. So she had no symptoms. She had no lumps. She had none of those things.
Out of the blue sky.
Even her risk factors were very low.
Oh, yes.
She exercises. She
skinny,
eats
skinny
well.
Skinny as a nail, but it ate all the sweets.
Doesn't drink.
Really? Oh.
very active woman. She's doing okay. She is a survivor.
We're not making jokes of this.
But I'm just trying to illustrate how important that screening
is.
That it was detected early enough and, you know, it made a difference in her life. There are three main tests that you are used to screen for breast cancer, and you should talk to your doctor about what's right for you and you know, what is going to be the first choice. Of course, the mammogram, which is an X-ray of the breast, it's the best way to find and detect cancer early. Even before any symptoms or anything, and regular mammograms can lower your risk of dying of breast cancer because this will be detected sooner and be treated sooner. And if you're 50 to 74 years old, you have to be sure to have your screening every 2 years. And if you're 40 to 49 years old, you should talk to your doctor about when to start these screenings.
Okay, and that's, I just want to put that, this information is from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And many times what happens, Anne, is that they start changing it, okay?
They but do the, change
everything
them.
Is, this mm-hmm. is just general information in the context that you have, your doctor has to determine what your risk factor are or how frequently
right.
you should have it.
I know right, and a lot of times that first screening, that first mammogram that you'll have, that will determine whether you have to go back every year or
right.
every 2 years. That will help determine that. And your regular annual checkups with your physician.
Right, and that's
women
important. Like even I know with my cardiac history that I have to go for a stress test, but I don't have to go every year because, you know, I've had it, I forget how often, but I don't have to go every year. But that was determined by my doctor that I have no symptoms and that sort of stuff. But it's the same way. So I want to stress that, okay, no uncertain terms that don't say, oh, I had it 2 years ago. Even with my dermatologist, I love using this example. I only had to see him once every 5 years. I saw him this spring. You know what he said? Peter, I want to see you every year, no 5 year stuff, because I'm getting to the age, he's finding little things there, no problem.
but
I want to keep seeing
those
you.
Those are
yeah.
screenings, and those are things that when you go back, that they keep an eye on it, and you've heard that. The second thing, of course, is a clinical breast exam, where your physician or nurse practitioner uses their hands to check for any lumps or other changes in the breast. And then they document it so that the next time you come, if they find something, they'll refer to it and, you know, they'll have something to look back on. And of course, one of the most important things, and when you go to the physician or a nurse practitioner or nurse, they will talk to you about self-breast exam. And you can go on the CDC website or even just research it a little bit online. And you can check yourself for lumps or changes in shape or size of your breast and any other changes in your breast and also under your arms, in your armpit.
Yes.
You have to check those lymph nodes that are under there for any changes as well. Having a clinical breast exam or a self-breast exam, though have not been found to decrease your risk of dying from breast cancer, it is the best way to detect.
Right. So
screening,
what happens,
important.
I guess the question, what happens if a patient, her mammography is normal? What does that mean? That means basically that continue to get your regular mammography. Oh, it's normal, fine, and you just forget about it. But the idea is you have to talk to your doctor.
Right.
When should you go the next time? When should you go the next time to have your mammogram?
And those annual visits to your physician for your annual checkup, they'll also do a clinical breast exam. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that way they can look at your history, talk to you again about it, and see what's best for you. Everybody's different,
right.
of course.
And then the flip side of that is, what happens if your mammogram is abnormal? Well, the first thing, and we've been saying all along, is that don't say, oh my God, I have breast cancer, don't panic. But what happens, it doesn't always mean that you have cancer, but you would have to have additional tests that would be done. And again, this would be in consult with your doctor, and he may refer you to a particular breast specialist or surgeon. But that's the whole purpose of it. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't want to know. But the reality is you have to know because you're worrying about something that you may not have to worry. I remember that scene with Oh God, it was one of the Woody Allen movies. And what happened was is that he said there's some, he was having like these headaches. And he asked, well, what is it? He said, well, it could be anything. It could be a brain tumor. It could just be nothing. So anyway, Woody Allen's having all this, oh God, I've been diagnosed with inoperable brain tumor and all this other stuff. And anyway, really it turned out the doctor said, well, listen, I'm still not sure what you have, but you definitely do not have a brain tumor. So that just like kind of relieved him. He was just envisioning this one thing, but that's what I mean. You don't want to get
yeah. I think he was probably a little bit funnier about it.
Yeah, I was just. But the idea is that you know they do have to do further tests, and that's what the and that's what the importance is. Okay, you listen to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella. Your health does matter, and I think this has been a very interesting program as far as what we're discussing for, breast cancer during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And when we come back, we will talk to how is breast cancer diagnosed.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
This is Marina Case, principal designer of the Red Shutters in downtown Warwick. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon and join me for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services and Director of Quality Assurance, also at A&T Healthcare. Well, we have our first announcement that we made. Taylor came in right in the middle, well, during the break time. And Ann, would you please give public... this is called... Dan, this is a public service announcement we're doing right now. Go ahead.
A reminder for everyone. I think it's been mentioned before, but King's Highway is closed until 1 o'clock between Warwick and Sugarloaf. If you want more information, you can call the sheriff or the town of Warwick. Again, just a reminder that King's Highway is closed between Warwick and Sugarloaf until 1 o'clock today.
Okay, great. It's like the old days. Remember the old days? You say stop the presses and stuff like that. They had this big store. But public service information. Okay, we are talking about breast cancer because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But how exactly is, how can breast cancer be diagnosed? We've already said about the screening, and then there'd have to be further work.
Okay, so as we talk the screening, there's a screening mammogram, but there's also additional diagnostic mammogram that if you have a problem with your breast, such as lumps or areas that look abnormal on a screening, then the doctor will have a further testing, a diagnostic test, which is a little bit more of a detailed X-ray. There's also a breast ultrasound, which is similar to any other ultrasound. It uses sound waves to take detailed pictures of the tissue in the breast. There's a magnetic
Resonance imaging, MRI.
I can never say that word.
I'm still bad. I'll say an abbreviation or, and I don't know what it means, but I know what it means, but I don't know what the word, the letters actually stand
what it
for.
And that's a body scan that uses a magnet linked to a computer that takes very detailed pictures of what's inside your breast, and it's very, very helpful. And of course, there's the biopsy, where tissue or fluid could be removed and looked under a microscope, and more testing is done to determine what kind of cells or what kind of tissue they have obtained. And for example, there's a needle aspiration. So that's just like a needle that's inserted. And then there's a core biopsy, which is a little deeper, or a open biopsy, which would be actually a surgical, opening to take some tissue out. So those are the things that, you know, that your physician would prescribe going forward after a screening.
Right. And then, you know, that's when you've determined the diagnosis. We've all gone over.
Well, that's actually before you determine the diagnosis, because a screening is an indicator that something else needs to be checked. And then you would go for these different testings to see, is this in fact cancer or is this something that is just benign or doesn't have any cancerous tissue?
Right, right. And then if it is, they talk about
and
staging.
Then if there is a diagnosis of cancer, then there's different staging that they use. And you hear that people will say, oh, it's stage one, stage two, you know, things like that. And that other tests are done on those cells to determine what that staging is called. It will be. Whether that will determine, of course, the treatments. So that's something that your doctor will discuss with you and then talk about the stage and then the type of treatment. And, you know, those things are changing all the time. We hear a lot of very wonderful progressive treatments that are being done.
Yeah.
And so many things have been done over the last 20 years that, you know, we didn't think were possible, and we'll talk a little bit about
how it's treated. You know, how is breast cancer treated? One of the first ways is like surgery, and this is, you know, the operation where the doctor would cut out the cancerous tissue, and I think they've made a lot of it. It's called a lumpectomy rather than removing the entire breast, just a portion of it.
Right. They've That's changed the from that radical mastectomy of the 1970s.
Right. And then it would... You know, I have to comment on this. I just like HIPAA. We all heard about HIPAA. We all know about that, and that has to be like your privacy. But let me tell you, the genesis of HIPAA was that back in the early 80s, I'm not sure the exact date, but what was happening is that women were having, as Ann said, a radical mastectomy, and then all of a sudden they started getting these pamphlets on particular bras or brassieres that were specialized for women who had had a mastectomy. And then what was happening is the women were saying, wait a second, how does this company know that I had a mastectomy? And what happened was, is not that the doctors were doing anything nefarious, but the idea is that the doctors were, you know, they were probably coming, they're here, this would be great for your patient that had surgery. Do you have the names and the addresses of women that had these mastectomies? Oh, yeah, here, right away. And that was when the red flags went up and said, wait a second, you can't be sharing medical information unless you have my permission. But that's really how the genesis of HIPAA was. And then the next part is the chemotherapy. And as I said, like, you know, with the surgery, you always want to make sure that it's successful, but many times it is done. Now, chemotherapy, and this is true of many of the other diseases, is that this is one of the words that we use so often. It's called the delicate balance, meaning that, you know, when you are receiving the chemotherapy, you want to kill the cancerous cells. However, in the process, you are also killing some of the good cells. And that's why you really have to balance it. And that's why I said surgery is so important. If it was just a lumpectomy, you started chemotherapy, again, your prognosis could be improved greatly. What others do we have in as far as the...
Well, there's hormonal therapy, which blocks cancer cells from getting the hormones they need to grow. Because as we discussed earlier, you know, hormone replacement therapy was actually causing the cancer to grow. And if we can block some of the cells from getting those hormones to grow, that would be very beneficial. Yeah. There's also radiation therapy, which you do hear very frequently, that using high-energy rays or X-rays kills cancer cells. And a lot of times that is a treatment that's recommended.
And that's why this is a highly specialized field, with so much you've seen in the healthcare field. Everything's so specialized, but there are all these different options as far as how it is treated. That is between you and your doctor. We're not going to say one is better than the other. There might be contraindicated, whatever your history is, but that's something to make the determination. That really has to be done with your doctor. Mm-hmm. Now, other thing, if we could just talk briefly, where does the time go? I wish I could just put a pause button on the clock and so we can get the stuff in, but I can't do that. But let's talk a little bit about breast cancer in young women. That this is something that I was overwhelmed by. Is that they're saying that about 11% of all new cases of breast cancer in the United States are found in women younger than 45 years of age, okay? And it's always difficult to diagnose and treat cancer women of any ages, but they're saying that young survivors may be overwhelming, maybe even be more complicated than anything. But as far as the risk factors, why don't we just go over the risk factors? And as he said, they are very similar, but you never think about something like that. I know we said earlier about when do you get screened, and that's one of the things that we said, like from 40 to 49, but even, there have been cases where it has been younger, right. And that's what's always important, that you think about it and always pay attention to the family history. That's always the big red flag.
Well, that is one of the risk factors, of course, is if you have close relatives, parents, siblings, or children who have been diagnosed with either breast or ovarian cancer when they were younger, younger than 45. If you have certain breast cancer genes, and that's a blood test that, your doctor will determine whether or not you need. If you have Ashkenazi Jewish heritage,
okay, yeah,
that could actually increase your risk. If you've been treated with radiation therapy for other reasons, either breast or other chest radiation therapy as a child or young adult, and certainly if you have had breast cancer or certain other types of cancers, like a carcinoma in situ, which is in situ means that it's at its original place where it started and has not spread, but that does increase your risk.
And is there any way we can summarize it very briefly just to highlight what it is? And my key thing is that this is something that you have to be aware of, and that's why the whole month is dedicated. You see it all in the football games, wearing the pink and that sort of stuff. But the idea is that you really have to do your due diligence in terms of, paying attention to what your body is, right, and what's happening.
And, we did just talk about the younger, the under 50 women. Breast cancer is the second leading cause of death in women, exceeded only by lung cancer. So that's something to keep in mind. And the chance of that breast cancer will be responsible for a woman's death is 1 in 36.
Wow.
That's 3%. Death rates from breast cancer have been declining since 1989.
It's working.
And larger decreases have been seen in younger women under 50. And that is believed to be a result of early detection and screening. That's why screening is so important for everyone. So just, keep that in mind.
That's the key thing, prognosis and diagnosis. And it looks like we're out of time. Boy, it's very informative. I want to tell our listening audience of WTBQ is that Ann and I will be on vacation next week, and will not be doing the show. However, we will. You want to tell us about Jay Gumier?
Well, you're going to have a surprise host.
No, but
Jay Gumier,
he's been on.
Yes,
he's been
Jay's
a regular.
Been on before. He plans to be on, and he's going to be talking about organ donation.
Okay, and that'll be very good. Well, anyway, follow us on Facebook, but stay healthy, because your health matters to you and your family and friends. I wish you all the best. And we won't see you next week, but we'll be vicariously being here, okay? And Jay will be taking
over.
We'll
try to listen in.
Everyone have a good one, okay? All the best.